You don't prepare in the battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield, then start learning how to shoot a gun, is a dead soldier. You are not a minister to compete, you are a minister of war. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do this too well. Sorry to point at the role, but please, just says that body strong. See God reaching out again to bring you out, but you keep going back inside. Don't do it. Don't do it. Father, thank you. Alright, in this context, the Lord has led me to speak on the subject, the revelation of Christ. The revelation of Christ. So, we just speak scriptures, and we trust God to speak to us. And let me say this, that anywhere Christ is truly and thoroughly divided, the response to that is His pure presence. Let me say this to you, that's why the teaching ministry has a lot of association with the prophetic ministry. In fact, according to New Testament parallels, I told you this in School of Ministry, that a prophet after the order of the new covenant is first and foremost a teacher, because the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. If Christ is not well divided, you will prophesy from Sinai, not from Zion. Are you following me? Yes. Prophecy from Sinai reveals, all right, the consequence of actions. Prophecy from Zion reveals what Christ has done to take care of the consequences. Not to bet us into lasciviousness, but to bet us into His kind of person. Are you following what I'm saying? There's so much deposit of grace in this meeting. There's so much. It's just so obvious. I got a mail to come and minister in a meeting yesterday night. I sent the mail back. I said I won't come because I perceived you have not prayed. I said I won't come. A meeting, a ministry that, you know, sometimes you get an invitation to go and minister in a meeting, and you know that you are even doing more Torah work than your host. So I told the person, I said, all right, you are just learning this. One of the signs that you have prayed about a meeting is that there is a communication of the burden of the meeting. That's what shows that you have done your homework well. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following me? Ah, shaky lattice. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Revelation chapter number 1. Let's start the reading from verse 1. And yes, we have our wonderful Pastor Joseph in the house. Thank you, Pastor. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angels to his servant John. Hold on, let's go back to verse 1.
the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant or his servants things which must shortly take place. Note that word, shortly take place. And he sent and signified, not teach it. Signified it by his angel to his servant John. So God can use angels to communicate a message. He doesn't use angels to teach. Angels are not wonderful teachers, but they are good messengers. You know, I was told about the case of a prophet. This issue happened in the year 2011. He was a young man that was genuinely digging into God. There's a very desperate some person in the crowd. You are drawing. Hold on. Wait. What you want, God will give you. But wait. Calm down. By the time we are done, you will know what to reach out for. Calm down. So this guy began to press deep into God. Was fasting and praying. Now let me say this. We don't pay the price for the anointing. We pay price for alignment. We don't pay price for grace. You know what I'm saying? We labor with grace. Are you following me? If there's any fasting, prayer, anything we do, it is so the flesh can be subdued that we can be aligned with the substance of what is already available. Are you following me? Alright. So this guy began to pray, and suddenly he stumbled into a realm called the angelic realm. I've heard many Christians talk about that realm. It's real. That is, there are realities in God that when you say to the natural man, his mind cannot fathom it. Alright? There, but the angelic realm is not the realm for communication of doctrine. That is teachings. It can be a realm to communicate dimensions, but not teachings. Are you following me? We are going to the revelation of who? Christ. Alright? So he stumbled on angels, the realm of angels, that began to show him things to do. That is, he started hearing things like, when you want to, you know, get to so and so and so manifestation, wake up by certain time, turn to certain direction, and then call certain name of angels, and then you will see certain manifestations. And he began to do that, and he began to see manifestations. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The reason why he said I am the way is because there are many other ways. But he is the measure of safety in our journey in the spirit realm. That is, if there is anything a man wants, once it does not testify of Christ, you are in error. Let me say it again. Christ is the measure, alright, is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of sin in the spirit realm. So this guy began to receive instructions from angels, began to practice those things, till he moved from being supernatural to being mysterious. Christ is not a mystery. He is the demystification of God. So the goal or the aim of this teaching is to bring us to a point where Christ is revealed. Where Christ is what? Revealed. Where Christ is what? Revealed. And you know, I'm going to try as much as I can to teach from the basics. One of the major plagues in my generation now is that there are men who know mysteries but are failure in basics. They can tell you about certain potters, but they can't tell you about Newman. You get what I'm saying? And soon there's going to be the difference between those who are walking by inheritance and those who grew. You know the reason why there was 400 years of silence before Jesus came? So he could enter into the stature of all that God wants to give him without contamination. Many of us are tapping grace and we are tapping dirty waters. There are some grace you will tap and you will not know what to do in your ministry again. That's why we don't tap all graces. I was telling someone, I stood before someone who is a major figure in the body of Christ. I was with him in his hotel room and we're talking, and as people's custom, they go on their knees and then ask, just impart me. You don't just take impartation from someone who is not operating in the line of your ordination. And I said sincerely, I didn't have anything I want. Say, what do you want? I said, I really don't have anything. I don't want anything. Not because he's not anointed, but because that will confuse what I carry. There are some of you who have stopped seeing ease since the day a hand came on you. Not because the hand is not pure, but because it is not in the direction of your ordination. Imagine receiving a Temeter injection intravenously. Oh, you don't understand what that means. Okay. Hallelujah. Alright. Still in that same Revelation chapter 1. So we'll just pick, you know, one scripture and begin to travel with it with the help of the Spirit. Alright, so verse 2 says, "Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Alright, so look at what verse 2 said. "Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw." Let's take this. Can we take this a step further? Let's take it a step further. Let's look at another man's account of this same testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter number 9. Acts of Apostles, chapter number 9. Shia Ramas, the Krethina Mas. I need to add this as I'm teaching, though. The race of destiny is not a copied assignment. You must understand your own dimension and stay with it. Do you get? Yes. I just sense to say that word to someone. You know, one of the major problems I've seen is that people are not digging in God to find original. They are looking for what works. There was a time I noticed every youth began to sound apostolic when some have no business around it. You don't look for what works, you make something work. Are you following what I'm saying? Alright, as we are teaching, God by his mercies will begin to reveal issues. Are you following what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And then we act chapter number 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any way of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard the voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I don't like to rush over scriptures like that. Go back to verse 3. The Bible said, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Let me say this to you. There are two kinds of encounters. There are encounters you get not because you are digging deep, and they are not a legislation of your wrong ways. They are to bring you back. You didn't get that. There are many people who share encounters that they were masturbating before they saw it. Now you didn't get it. Huh? The fact that a man has an encounter is not a proof that he's deep in God. Paul was not coming from fasting and prayer. He had bad intentions. What then is an encounter? An encounter is what you come in closure with to counteract your ways. Any encounter that does not beg genuine change, doubt it. Encounter is not the same as vision. The proof that it's an encounter is that it bet change. You see, I will shovel you in the sense that, do you get what I'm saying? Hold on. See, hold on. Let me beg you. In most meetings, you can come to a meeting loaded to bless God's people. At the end of the day, they don't get it, and they will still be blessed. Are you following me? You know what I want to do now? I will just ask that hungry people should come to the front. You know what Ketan Kuman did? You see, church is not first come, first seat. In the ministry of Kuhlman, only those who were in front were those who have been in fasting and prayers. You know why? These things, it is a very serious thing. Let me say this to you. Do you know if you are a man of the spirit, even your looks are spirit coordinated? The slightest sound is spirit inspired. You don't just strike anything. The life of encounter, this life is a life of alignment. You don't get me? If you live anyhow, there are realms you will only read and talk of. You will not operate in them. I'm telling you. You know, there are postures you must even take in God for certain things to be unveiled. Let me say this to you. You know, I don't value anywhere I see anointing without true character. You know, I am determined as a child of God that what God has ordained for this meeting is for this meeting. And we are just starting. Can you just pray in the Holy Ghost and stir up your spirit? Say, I receive it. Elama shikam bletika. Zelema kam blikon rekilatikash. Stelebaka shalemakia. Elama kebrebe konvilatia. I receive what God has prepared for this meeting. Sheleman Velakia. Mm-hmm. until my only gaze is you. Spirit keep moving over me till I look more like you. Until my only gaze is you. Spirit keep moving over me till I look more like you. Until my only gaze is you. Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Amen. Amen. There's so much weight of the Spirit because God has an agenda. Are you following me? Yes. God has an agenda. And let me just advise, dear Christians, one of the wrong things you can do to atmosphere of the Spirit is to despise it. If you are a man who is truly laboring in God, one of the major burdens you have is that there are things that it took alignment to receive, and you share it with people and they say, is that all? You know, so the disdain to the realities of the Spirit is a sign that we are not even close. It's a sign, you know, I kept having that burden. I've been praying since hell in the morning, God, burden again for a generation that will value your word. You know, are you following me? Are you aware that these things we are teaching can be seen and can be caught? They can be seen and they can be caught. They are not just being taught. Are you following me? Good. As they journeyed, look at this encounter was not a product of alignment. This encounter was to bring him into alignment. Encounters are not always proof of depth. They are proof of God's constant nature. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Yes, continue. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice. Scripture did not say they heard the voice. It said he heard the voice. Meaning that it is possible for the move of God to single a man out. In the book of Matthew chapter number 3, as Jesus was baptized in the river of Jordan, Scripture says, and heaven was opened unto him. And God spoke. God began to speak with Jesus. And what the rest were hearing was thunder. Because in Psalms chapter 18, we saw that God speaks with lightning and thunder. But yet, there was a son there who was getting the language and the code. Do you get what I'm saying? Encounters can single a man out. That people can be in the midst of a crowd. You know, one thing I don't get to do is that I don't get carried away. I remember, this story may look very funny, and some people, come Christians, might go online and go and say, all these Christians, their own is too much. If they are not saying your own is too much, you are not really digging deep. I remember the day I went to propose to my fiancée. After giving her the ring, they were rejoicing. All, we were preparing for an encounter meeting, an impartation meeting that day. You were there. Even in the midst of the whole euphoria, I just turned to my friend, Pastor Emmanuel. I said, they have brought it. What's that? What have they brought? And he held my hand. Said, ah! He's there. I remember a friend of mine came from Ife. We just came. He came to church to bless the church. We just went out to have a good time, had lunch together, and then with his wife, and just talking. And we got to church, and I just shook hands with him. God, you know, he's my friend. Just normal. And I almost fell. I said, "This guy, your cup is running over. You need to charge, oh." You know, God is not under pressure to prove he's in your meeting if he doesn't know you. God is here. God is here. Don't talk it. Reveal him. Do you get what I'm saying? It's to be revealed, not discussed. I read while I was reading Good Morning Holy Spirit. Some of you might feel too big now for that book, but please go back and read that book. Pastor Kizuya Kilome hosted Benin, Nigeria. And he said, "I just want to thank you for that book, Good Morning Holy Spirit. That book has changed many lives." If a book that changes lives, you read it and nothing happened to you, don't check your life, check your heart. You know, I read books that will keep me soaked in tears for 3 months. One book. And I'll say, "You know what, this book, something happened to me." And I'll give a Christian, "Go and read this book." And I'm waiting for something to start happening. Nothing. Say, "Are you reading the book I gave?" Say, "I finished." Many of you have to shout and shout and shout because your heart is not a ground that God can plow. So hard. So hard. Offenses, grudges, sin, they will weaken your spiritual stature. That's why you must not work with them. Some of you are bleeding, but you will recover. Amen. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him. I think I was going to share a story then. I jumped from. Which story was that? Huh? I think I was going to share a story. But I will remember. No way. And he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my church?" He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my people?" Me. Verse 5. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Let me say this to you. A 5-minute encounter can give you what you can't learn in 10 years in school. Have you ever wondered, how did Mary get pregnant? Hail Mary. Blessed are thou amongst women. He just began to speak and she said, "Be unto your handmaid according to your word." Don't despise the things of the Spirit. You can receive an impartation and suddenly begin to walk in the inheritance of knowing. You just know things supernaturally. You just know what to do. Many of us are operating far, far below the level of grace available around us. I'm going to teach you a lesson through this teaching. Can you just reduce a bit? I'm going to teach you a lesson through this. Those who are likely not to benefit from grace are those who are close to grace. That's why anybody that stays around me will tell you, "You can sleep in my house and not see me for 3 months. I won't have 5 minutes of discussion with you." I will not. Because we're in a generation where people are wasters. An average young man will sit under you in meeting and start to compare your rev with what he knows. And he say, "Ah, pastor knows this too." And that's why they know so much, but they do little. Because God does not use men with big head. He uses men with strong spirit. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Many Christians have spiritual kwashoko. They have loaded head but weak spirit. They teach you, but if it is from your head, it can't go beyond the head of the people. So it is Pharisees raising Pharisees. Fantastic people. They know deep things, but they fight prophecy and its fulfillment. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats." Alright? So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" These are questions Christians don't ask. These are questions Christians don't ask. "Lord, we're about rounding up 2020. What do you want me to do?" I keep asking myself, how many Christians have books where they write prophecies? How many values it? When you say your life is not moving forward, against what are you comparing it? The life of your friend or what God has said? Against what background? Sometimes you make men of God look like they are not anointed because they speak words you didn't trap. They spoke it. But are you aware that prophecies are not self-fulfilling? "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The revelation of Christ. You will think it's one serious thing I want to teach you, but it's serious. Because he must get this. Despite the fact that he met Jesus, Jesus said, "Go into the city. A man will tell you what you must do." It is not good to have a ministry that you are doing only what God said. There must be things God is using men to say. Because when you fall, you may be too out of alignment for God to speak and you hear again. But when a man comes, you will listen. Are you following what I'm saying? Go into the city. But the issue is, a light shone. And that light did not just shine around him. It shone into his heart. And the light taught him to call him Lord. Emoji, if you are going to sleep, go to the back. Help him, please. Okay. The light taught him to call him Lord. When Jesus is revealed, the Lordship, hear me, please pay attention. The Lordship is the dimension that will be revealed. Is Lordship. And I need to tell you what His Lordship is. So let's quickly journey and begin to compare scriptures fast. Which scriptures do we check first? Go to the book of Isaiah chapter number 11. Quickly. Isaiah chapter number 11. Let's start the reading from verse 1. Isaiah chapter number 11, start from verse 1. Are you there now? Now look at it. "And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root." What is the first thing here? Read it. "Shall rest upon him the spirit of the Lord." Now hear me. There are many parts of the scriptures that we didn't get what God was communicating. For instance, in the parable of the 10 virgins, it was not communicating that when you lack oil, go and look for oil till you miss it. It was communicating that hear me. When the bridegroom came in that parable, he met those who were on ground. He didn't ask for oil. What did they need the oil for? To trim their lamps. Who is it that was come the light of the world? Come on now. We read the book of Galatians 5 and verse 20. Say the fruit of the spirit is this and this and this. The one it mentions first is the one that bets the rest. the Spirit of the Lord shall bear wisdom, shall bear understanding, shall bear counsel, shall bear might, shall bear knowledge, shall bear the fear of the Lord. Why? When the Lordship of God can be established over a man, he will be wise. He will be full of understanding. He will fear God. You don't see the Bible using the Spirit of the Lord every time. For instance, Genesis 1:1. Quickly. Let's go there. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God. This Spirit is what is described to be omnipresent. But the Spirit of the Lord is only where a man is that God has conquered. Have you now understood the reason why the Bible says that? For the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That is, as much as we are here, there is only liberty when there is a man God is lording over to come and reveal that God. Hear me. No atmosphere is self-anointed. In fact, the Holy Ghost does not dwell in the mist. He dwells on men, then spread his influence. Let me break it down. When somebody comes and say, I step in here and I can perceive the presence of God in the atmosphere. No, sir, atmospheres don't host presence. Men does.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There is an that is the influence of men who are strong enough in God to host dimensions. And then you can, you know, when you get to a place where they are cooking food, you can perceive it. I was sharing the other time, thank you Lord, about the case of Catherine Kuhlman. How that she was going for her own meeting, but she couldn't enter for the crowd. So she asked all the protocol just to stay back. And she was going to just sneak and pass through the kitchen. I remember you read this story. She was going to sneak and just carefully pass through the kitchen. They were busy cooking and doing many things, but as she entered, there was no need for announcement. Somebody came with something. And the presence was so strong, those who were busy cooking were invaded. And all of a sudden, everybody began to cry and they were on their faces. Because somebody is hosting God. Let me say this to you. The authority, not power, the authority you manifest in God is the degree to which he has authority over you. That's why, hear me, a prophecy is not necessarily fulfilled because it is the counsel of God. It matters who is saying it. Amen. I will just keep teaching by faith. I want to believe you get what I said the other time. Something happened. I think I've shared this story before. When Baba Badari was still alive, and the sons of prophets, school of prophets, Abajide school of prophets. You know, in those days, I went to meet, was it some 2 Sundays ago? I went to minister in the church of Prophet M. Olowere. I'm not sure you have heard that name before. So after the meeting, I said to his son, I said, I want to see daddy. So we went to his house. He just sat down, old man, in his usual white robe. He just sat down there. You know, there are prophets that they are species, are rare species. They are endangered species. Except there are people who are wise to tap before they leave. If not, what God does with such men is that he can share the grace on one upon 10,000 people. Diluted coke and real coke are not the same, but let's leave it. See, I will drink. As I entered into the inner, what was it called? Sitting room where he was seated. He looked at me and he said, that thing you want to do, do it like this, do it like this. That was exactly what I've been praying about. He said, of the 5-fold ministry gifts, what are you? He said, I know you, prophet. It's good we have school of the prophet. What it will do is that it will teach you to enter into alignment. But if you enroll in school of the prophet without school of the spirit, you will still prophesy amiss. So I was sharing the story of Baba Prophet, this man in Lesha with glasses, Obadari. When school of the prophet children went there and they said he should, no, they were in their about to leave. I think they spent then 2-3 years or so, I can't remember. So they prepared food, pounded yam, and then took it to 3 different people, Baba Oyelami, and then most of you don't know all these people, it's okay. And then took it to, then it was Prophet Obadare that was the last person. So it was pounded yam and soup. So they should prophesy what is inside. They covered it, say, you know, just daddy, you know, children will have access to daddy. Because in those days, school of the spirit, that's before you graduate, school of prophet, you have to do something serious. Not this one that they release you by faith, no. We are releasing too many China products. No, it's true. It's true. That's why there can be thousands of pastors in the place and yet there's no revival. Yes. So he looked at it and then he said, it was yam, pounded yam and vegetable soup. So he just say you have pounded yam and pounded yam inside the both of them. They say, you know, some of them will be happy that, thank God. When we to miss this thing can happen to this man. That they have missed it. So, he said they should open it. You know, you couldn't see. And then they opened it, it was pounded yam and pounded yam. So he said to them, he said there are two kinds of prophets. There are prophets who reveals, and there are prophets who decrees. That's why, hear me, there are certain things that some people will prophesy should happen. You say it's wrong prophecy, it didn't happen. But there are some that if they say it, because of them, it must happen. They wait behind it. Let's look at the event of the Valley of Dry Bones. Give us Ezekiel 37. Let's start reading from verse 1. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep ruling over me, till I look more like you. Sing it loud and clear. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep ruling over me. One more time. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep ruling over me, till I look more like you. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. I know you are passionate about revival, but can God conquer you? Revival is not about a place first. It's about a person first. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And it caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many, and many in the open valley. Now, I'm going to begin to tie the thread now. Let's begin to tie the thread of everything I've been saying since. Don't forget, this teaching is the revelation of Christ. Now, let's look at these two events. After Christ died and resurrected, he had many appearing before the people. Alright, but I want to show you something. Until my holy case is you, Spirit keep proving over me, till I look more like you. Let's look at Luke chapter number 34 from verse 30. Luke 34 from verse 30. I hope that as we are beginning to tie the thread, somebody will be challenged to pray. That's Luke 24, sorry, from verse 30. Let's start from verse 30. Can you be a bit fast? Okay. Okay, start from verse 28 so we can. I'll not pick contextually. I still don't want to pick from there. Go to verse 25. So let me give you the breakdown. Christ had died, he had risen. But don't forget that even disciples still didn't know what he came for. Because sometimes the true proof of a true minister is not the people that follow him. If you're going to measure Jesus by that, then he has failed. Because they were still asking, what is he there for? If you listen to a largeness of heart, you saw how that they still went back to fish. Sometimes many of us have destroyed people because we are under pressure to use them as the proof of our calling. And we stretch them above limit. But hold on, it takes a lot. It is God that raises men. Everybody here who is a disciple must learn to hand people to God. If not, you stretch them above limit. There are times you will labor, fast, and pray. There are things now that some pastors will tell me they are just understanding now that I've said 7 years ago. So I know there are things I'm saying now that will be understood in the nearest future. Some of them would have been married, but they now say, now we understand what pastor is saying. In the same light, when David was saying in Psalms 110 that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand side, to everyone it looked foolish until Christ died and resurrected. So if you are trying to make sense, don't do ministry. In your entire life, you may not make sense and you have done the will of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Most of the things you will read now, get blessed, E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth E. Hagin, most of them were not really truly valued when they were alive. The true test of a minister of God is that he goes to where God says to go and he does what Christ says to do. The people may never really, really believe in it. That's the truth. But yet you have done the counsel of God. God can use you to speak things that will later be unveiled in 100 years time. That's why the proof of spiritual depth is that you care less about opinions. As long as you are alive to opinions, you will not do the mind of God. You can't. You can't survive it. You can't. Please journey back to the beginning of the scripture. Let's start from verse 20 so I can trace this. It's a very long reading. I'm trying to cut it. Alright, so he was teaching them how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. 21. But we're hoping that it was he who is going to redeem Israel. Indeed, Israel. Okay, indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen visions of angels who said he was alive. The reason why he didn't leave his body behind is still what we are going into. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, now it was Jesus they were talking to. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Something happens when he feeds you. It doesn't matter who is teaching you Christ. He has to reveal himself to you. They were talking with him. They didn't know. He was teaching them. Say, foolish ones. Ought not Christ to have suffered and enter into his glory? They still didn't know him. Look at the event of John 21. The event of John 21. Now, let me quickly say this. You know, there are two parts that I prepared towards this teaching. The revelation of the pre-resurrection Christ and then post-resurrection Christ. But don't worry. Let's just stay with this. Over time, God will help me to teach it. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and two others, other disciples were together. Quickly. Okay. Yes. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We are also going with you." They went out immediately and got to the boat. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now were not able to draw it. So they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land. But you know, there's a mystery in this scripture. There were three that were closer to Jesus. The closest was the one who recognized. The next was the one who jumped in. James would have followed. Maybe if he had followed, he might not have lost his life without making any meaning before he died. Because they were three. Peter was the rock that, despite the revelation of Paul, it was to bring the balance. John was the one to bring what Christ has to say to the church. James was killed before he could do anything. He didn't write the book of James. They had wiped him off before he could do that. Experimentally. But the other disciples came a little bit, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net. They were still dragging the net with fish. But as soon as they had come to the land, they saw fire, of course, there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the ground full of fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing it was the Lord. Now go to verse 13. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, they, not disciples, they, including Jesus, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs," and began to give Peter instructions. But what is the significance of Jesus' his revelation being known after fellowshipping and dining with him? That each time they are to receive something new, there is always a meal ahead of it. Elijah was running from Jezebel, but the Lord had to first make him tarry and eat, for the journey was far. Gideon was running from the Amalekite. The angel came and touched a stone into baked bread, for the journey was far. After Jesus had finished fasting in Luke 4, scripture says angels came and ministered to him, for the journey was far. If you are missing in his pool, you can't know him. You can't. It's my earnest prayer that beyond what is being taught in church, there will be people who will journey deeper and say that I want to eat. I want to eat around your table. I want to know you. I want to catch your revelation, Jesus. There was an event that happened. Let me show you. Matthew chapter number 17. So I'm beginning to tie up my teachings now, and then we are coming to the tough part. If you are there, say amen. I start reading from verse 1. "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, his clothes became as white as light, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him," the law and the prophet. But what was the significance of men like this and Jesus? Because there's something about the spirit of Christ and these men. Why you must understand this, and it's a very hard thing to believe. As at this time, and not even this, okay, as at this time, because when Jesus resurrected, scripture says many of the saints, you didn't know what happened during the resurrection. All of it was not just the tomb of Jesus that was empty. The same way they want to silence Lekki massacre, or same way they silence the fact that somebody rose, and what they are now collecting money over now as the tomb of Abraham, there's nothing there. You know, in the 400 years of silence, the reason was because there was a major war that took place, and the Ark of Covenant had been stolen. And the priests were still going inside and performing priestly duty. No wonder they were living in sin and they were not dying. Hence the silence. 400 years of silence was not a deliberate. Over time, we learn how to cope when the real substance is gone. You know, that's religion. These two men, there's a significance. As at this point, there are only them that were with God, yet in their mortal state. Moses. I'll tell you why Moses. Because when he died, angels did not leave his body behind. He had to be hidden. We're going somewhere. Elijah, the one who experienced rapture ahead of the coming of Jesus. And Enoch, the one who vanished into intimacy. indicating that this is going to be the new order. Christ is never going to come back and become a spirit again. Man. Have you read Revelation chapter number 4? Scriptures began to describe the throne. Give me from verse 1. Let's look at something really amazing. After this, I looked and behold, a door. Ah, I see someone entering into depth of visions. Amen. A door standing open in heaven. You know, when they say a door is standing open, these things are figuratively used. Are you aware? Also, I don't like the book of Revelation. It's too mysterious. It's a book with keys and codes. I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show things which must take place after this. Immediately, I was in the spirit. In the spirit realm, when you hear come, you don't go up, you are carried. And behold, a throne set in heaven. One sat on the throne. Quickly. And the one that sat on the throne was there like jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne. Appearance like emerald. Around the throne there are 24 elders. Sitting. Clothed with white robes. And they had the crown of gold. Also hold on their head. You know, God, the Father himself, does not live in heaven. Huh? Because when he led captivity come, he ascended above the heavens. But there was a throne in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Round about the throne are 24 thrones. And on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting. So, you know what the scripture is saying? If these are elders and they are 24 and they had white robes are for those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They had crowns, so they are those who overcame. So these are men. The innermost chamber of heaven is occupied by one of us. Okay. You know, as at the time John was seeing this vision, those who have qualified to enter that statue are 24, but they will not remain. I want to be an elder. Right now, many of you are having many things playing out in your mind. I'm saying, for the sake, I can't leave this. I must chop this life together. Hence the reason why, despite the fact that I just 24. Why is this a necessary revelation? Let me quickly show you something. I think 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Start the reading from verse 2. 1 Timothy 2 from verse 2. Okay, I exhort first of all that I pray for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Yes. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. So the Christ we are currently studying about is a man. He gave up that title of the only begotten to become one of us perpetually. So that as he is, so are we. You know why he was called Son of Man? Because he's the first true man to walk the face of the earth. The intention, what the Father had in his mind, The devil hijacked it before it could mature. Adam was full of mustache and broad chest. But you don't enter into stature that way. You grow into stature. Before they could grow, were hijacked. Look at Revelation 5. Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne the scroll, written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. Angels themselves are not normal. So if the scripture is saying a strong angel, forget it. He's not your normal kind of. There are many of you saying, I saw an angel. Your life has changed. Really? There are certain things God reveals to you. You fear God. Then I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to the scroll and to lose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and to read the scroll or to look at it. You know why? Because man had sinned. It takes man to redeem man. So God had to become man. Because no man was qualified. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Yes, go on. And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, in the midst of the elders, in the midst of the elders, in the company of his fellow men, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, not among angels, amongst men. If only we know how close he wants to be to us. Why did he choose to stay in the midst of the elders? In the midst of them stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of. We read about those seven spirits. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of might, of knowledge, of counsel, and of the fear of the Lord. What is that saying? A lamb stood there as one who has been lorded over, then Lord of all. You know, I watched Kuhlman on several occasions and I just kept saying, oh God, what is it about this woman? And sometimes you just break into tears and just longing for that, you know, that presence. Yeah, you have become so lost that the presence is everything to you. There are many of us seated who are no longer ministers of God, but we are now professionals. What is the difference? A minister cannot function without Christ. A professional has the gifts to do what he wants to do. So in sin, he's still full. Hold on a minute. So when I say the name of Jesus, actually a man? What? Why then think John was saying, little children, this I write unto you, that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate of the Father. One of you is there. Why should you be condemned? You know, Christ did not do everything he did simply because prophecies had gone ahead of him. No. He was sent God and 100% man. So he could choose either to live as God on earth or as a man. Huh? But the sacrificial lamb that is qualified to take away the sins of the world must be the one without spot or blemish. So the devil does not need Jesus to live in sin. He needs him to fall into it once. So scripture said in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity." Seeing that, this is the greatest miracle. He was in all points tempted like we are, but yet without sin. The only one qualified as a man to be called God. So, if a believer thinks that in God, sin can be excused because the anointing still flow, you will not be God on earth. Huh? You know, I keep thinking about that scripture. Though tempted at all, in all points, like we are, but yet. Huh? Little wonder the prince of this world came to him, but found nothing of his. So his presence on that seat is not Ojoro, he qualified for it. When you see men operating in certain stature, don't just say maybe somebody, a prophecy had gone ahead of this one. Let me say this to you. Even if you have access to the greatest man of God on earth, if your life does not agree with the anointing, you will still not manifest. You know, I see God calling us into stature of that revelation. Yes. I see God saying, this is possible for a man. You can't do it. Huh? I see God requesting that you will stop living your life in the path of men. David was speaking in Psalms 82, if I'm right. He said, "I said to you, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High." He went on to say, "They know not, neither do they understand. The foundations of the world are out of course. And I see you die like men and fall like one of the princes. At what point will I?" You know, your fear of witches and wizards is a proof of disjointment from Christ. Huh? They know not. That when I'm walking on the street, it is not just Femi Lagos walking, it is God walking. So you get to that realm where you pray with the sick, you are not trusting God that they will be healed. That kind of anointing, I'm not saying you are not depending on God, but you are healing them through God. Huh? Why do you think it is called walking of miracles? Because God wants you to walk it. That you go so deep. You know, I was sharing about that video clip of Pastor Chris. It's still one of the most amazing things I've watched. Of that young man who has never walked all his life. His leg bent. Alright. Dried. Nothing. No fluid. Nothing. He has never used that leg since he has been born. 19 years old. And he sat down in that meeting. And the man of God went to the stadium to preach first. He went to the room where there were critical issues first. And he saw that young man. And he just stood in front of him, touched his leg, used his leg to touch his leg, shook his own leg, shook his own leg, shook his own leg, and told him get up and didn't look at him. And that leg was straight. Because a man dared to enter into a stature. I watched a video clip of A. Allen. He was just teaching and preaching when they wheeled a woman just behind him. And he looked back and said, "Get up!" And she stood up. And I said, just like that, it becomes more difficult to the degree that it is done to a Lord over you. You know, one thing about this depth of
The closer you get to him, the more you see that all things are possible. The farther you are from him is the more you see difficulties. It is the way of a transgressor that is hard. You know, this is a call back. You know what was written in Acts 10 verse 38? How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Many of you have been anointed with the Holy Ghost, but you have not received power. Because power is a product of prevailing in the wilderness. The Bible did not just say God anointed him with the Holy Ghost. He said, and with power. So many of you are still basking with the Holy Ghost. But you know what power is? The ability to get something done. How come you speak in tongues and still struggle to cast out the devil? You don't have the ability yet. You know, somebody said, I don't like Pastor Femi Lazarus. He's proud. It takes a proud man to know a proud man. Said they cast out devils with swag. How do I do it? In the name of Jesus, get out. Said, I don't like that. You are making it look so cheap. What should we make it look like? Gather seven men and sing Holy Ghost fire. You know, there is so much attack on dimensions in the body of Christ. And those attacks are consistent and deliberate because the devil wants to shut the door of access into those realities in your heart. There's so much attack. One of the ways you can attack a dimension is by frontiering to a wrong person to do it. If you have a wrong prophet as the being projected in a state, the prophetic in that place will be under attack. Because even those who are genuinely called into it will not want to operate in it for the sake of that wrong person. There are dimensions under attack that God is called possibility. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's you. After every meeting, number of those that fall under anointing. But the possibilities that bear, there are possibilities here. And I'm telling you. You know, I told our pastors, and I said, the reason why I don't shout when I preach, sometimes I'm having the body. But because I discovered that what we need is the power behind. There are many of you who will enter into these possibilities with ease. Are you following me? You have genuine hunger in your heart. And you're saying, Jesus, I just want to know you. Just want to know you. I just want to put a bright smile on your face. When you see me manifesting and you are saying that is one of us. I want to reflect what you rose from the dead for. I want to reflect the kind of life you saw. The kind of life you lived. I want to reflect your essence. The possibilities in you. The power to work. I don't want to be an ordinary Christian. Jesus. I want to be an express display of your ability. I want to see you glorified. Jesus. I want to do your will. I want to do your biddings. I want to complete every assignment that needs to be done in the kingdom. I want my life to establish the glory and the intentions of God. Jesus. I want to see your face, oh. I want to know you more. I want to know you intimately, Jesus. I want to know you. Take away every distraction from my part. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Jesus. Amen. The Lord is saying, there are people here who had a steady progress in the reality of revelation of Christ. That is, you were growing into something, but all of a sudden a major distraction came and you were cut out. You've been growing now too, but you notice not as strong as what you were then. Come out. I won't call you twice. Come out.
I want to touch your face.
Who knows the song?
I can live your days. I want to see you.
Wait, you know the substance of what you were before. This is not the kind of, you know, altar call you come for, just normal. You know that if only you had continued in that progression, by now you'd have been a principality. But something cut it off. What we are entering, even if you are not able to make your way to the front, just where you are. What we are talking about is that you are coming back into that same strength. And God is saying, remember the height from whence you fell. It was an height. You are celebrating what you have now, but where you were was an height too. You were going steady until something came. No, don't sing. Just hold on. I have to give my instruction. Please, those of you in front, pray. That steady growth. Where's Nakali? Come. Get the mic, new wine. Please pray.
I carry on you.
Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. I have one simple assignment here, and the assignment is to pray to my God that He will open the same door you entered then. Because John said, I saw a door standing open in heaven. In the days you were able to make your way to that door, a progression started that is now seemingly over. Because somehow, something came and you stepped out of that door. I'm going to pray very simple prayers. For some of you, it may come as a very strong, mighty, rushing wind of new manifestation. But all of you are going to have an experience. For some of you, it will be a baptism of fresh love like the moment you first believed. Father, I stand in agreement with all your children. The same door you opened then, let there be a restoration of that same door, Lord. Reveal yourself in their hearts. Let these hearts catch the fire of your blessing again, Lord. The fire born in their hearts right now. Wherever you are, put your right hand on your chest. I ask that your heart will begin to burn within you. Yes. And God has given you the heart of flesh and access back to that same height where you fell. Touch, sweet Spirit of God. Touch. Rest upon these people. Let every heart be set on fire again. My Father, the same love, the same passion. Let the anointing they used to drink off them, let it be served again, Lord. Let it be served again. Let them eat of that same bread and drink of that same wine. For the journey is yet far. Let the same passion in multiplied fold begin to burn in your heart again, Jesus. That you will reveal yourself in them like they saw.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.